swimming.
No.
Oh, for the wellness.
Can I get an approval of the minutes?
Madam Chair.
Board Member Heller.
I would move that we table these minutes as in going through them, I found quite a bit of inconsistencies or vagueness to the point that I don't think it's accurate. And we also haven't had the opportunity to post the recordings yet. So once the recording's posted and we can make some changes that were consistent, I would appreciate the board support tabling these minutes. Can we further address them?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to table the minutes.
I kind of already did my why.
Yes, you did.
Sorry.
Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? You do know the rules. You need to bring it off the table next month.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Communications for information.
The study session plan for April has been rescheduled and will be held on May 3rd.
Okay. And we will be receiving a presentation from Alice Phillips, Business Manager, IBEW, Local 483, if you please.
Chair Summers and members of the board, first I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to address the board. We have two issues that we're requesting that you look into. They've been brought up several times with not necessarily current human resource executives, but with prior executives, and it just seems like it's stalling. So we're coming here to ask you to look into a couple things. And the first one, what I want to point out to you first is what gives you the authority to do this investigation that I'm asking for. And I believe that the Tacoma Municipal Code 1.24.270 Civil Service Board Power and Duties, and it's in the binders that we provided for you, the highlighted section, I believe, and I won't read it to you because I'm pretty sure you all can read just fine without me, right? But we believe that that gives you the authority to investigate our concerns. So the concern that I want to address first is this, classified versus unclassified, and what the rules say are the limits to when an employee or a classification should fall under the civil service authority and when it becomes unclassified and isn't covered by the civil service board. So that's, and the next tabs we have the rules that we think may be violated and the city charter that might be violated, and we are what we're requesting is that you look into that, and if we're wrong, then thank you for the investigation, and if we're right, I'm not yet. I'm still on the first one. And if we're wrong, then we thank you for your time, and if we're correct, we'd like to see it corrected, and so that we're in compliance with the charter and the civil service rules. So if you go to the next page, article, and this is still under tab one, city office, this is from the city charter, article six, city officers and personnel, unclassified service, section 6.1. And this section in the charter describes when someone is exempt from civil service employment. And it talks about the unclassified service shall consist of officers elected by the people and persons appointed to fill vacancies in elected offices, the members of boards and commissions, officers appointed by the mayor and the council or by boards or commissions as provided by law and by this charter, all department heads, one confidential secretary for the city manager, and one for the director of utilities, and such other principal officers and assistants to department heads as the council may prescribe by affirmative vote of not less than six members, no more than three administrative assistants or aides to the city manager, professional personnel in the office of the city attorney, professional employees in the profession or specific capacity of conducting a special inquiry, investigation, examination, persons employed on special projects or programs of limited duration to include but not limited special major construction projects, projects or programs financed by grant in aid agreements, either federal or state, and in the event workers in public assembly facilities. So those are the exemptions. And then 6.2 pretty much says everybody else is included in under the civil service rules. So if you look at tab four, well, let me back up. So under tab two is just my letter that I've already sent to you for your reference. Under tab three is a copy of the charter for your reference. And under chapter four, we have the civil service rules, so it's easy for you to look those up quickly. Under tab five, or I'm sorry, yeah. So that section is out of the city charter, section 6.1. But it is also covered under the civil service rules. And that is municipal code 1.24.290, classified versus unclassified civil service. And I'm not going to read that for you. I want to respect your time. But they basically say the same thing as the charter, that non-civil service employees should be limited. For example, and the number of management analysts in 2010 was 42, and this is an unclassified position. In 2016, that number increased to 122. So,
when was that,
2016, they increased to 122, and in 2010, there were only 42. So, are these new classifications? Are they? Is it more management analysts, or are they replacing classifications? They are replacing classifications with management analysts. An example is if a office assistant retires, there's a good possibility that position would be replaced with a management analyst. That's why those numbers are increasing. The next illustration, the classified clerical unit positions from 2010 had 191 positions in those classifications. Today has fewer than 153. That's 35 fewer positions and is a loss of 35 classified bodies. But yet the management analysts are increasing. And that information that I just shared with you is under tab 5. So, for example, in the city attorney's office, in 2010, there were 0. This is under tab 5. And in 2016, there are 2. If you go down to the city manager's office, in 2010, there were 3. Now there are 11. Customer service in 2010, there were 9. Now there's 4. That's one area where they went the other way. So this document, we went through and just gave you an example of how these positions have been increasing over the years, and they're non-classified positions. Our interpretation of the city charter and the civil service rules are that they should be classified. So, next, as of February 26, 2018, the number of positions classified versus non-classified or appointive, I understand that non-classified and appointive are interchangeable terms, is my understanding. In 2018, there were 832 appointed positions. There were 2,653 permanent positions, which are classified. If you drop down to the next chart, this is back under tab 1, page 3. It says July 1st of 2019, there were 697 appointed positions, and there were 2,832 positions. So if you do the math, between 2019 and 2018, there was an increase of 141 appointive or unclassified positions in the city of Tacoma.
Yeah.
Yes, between 2009 and February of 2018. I'm sorry, I misspoke. And if you look at the permanent classified positions between July 1st of 2019, right, 2009, and February of 2018, there was a decrease of 179 positions. If you look at tab 6, these are copies of under tab 6 is 2009, I'll get it before I'm done with this presentation, I will. 2009 appointive positions. This is a list of all the classifications that are appointive or unclassified. I do want to make a caveat here, is that if there is an applied rate to a position, it's listed as a position, and it's really an applied rate. So we may have missed, an example is if I'm, let me find one here. Well, right here. Actually, yeah, let's do that. That's an easier one to give you an example. So if you go to the next tab, tab 6, this is 2017, the same document. It's just for last year. So if you look, tab 7. So, for example, the court clerks, you'll see that it says court clerk, and then it says court clerk 2% bailiff, court clerk 2%. What is that?
Bilingual.
Oh, that's okay. Those are all applied rate. That may be one person. They're considered a court clerk, but then they're getting the applied rate. So you could count it as 2, but it's really only one body. Does that make sense? Okay, very good. So those, between those two tabs, in 2009, there were 106 appointive positions. And in 2017, there were 198 appointed positions, according to this list. I should have took this out. And then for your convenience, under tab 8, we put the job specifications for the management analyst 1, 2, and 3. So we have classifications now that go citywide. Management analyst is a citywide classification. But if you tried to transfer from one management analyst one to another management analyst one, chances are you wouldn't be allowed to do that because the department heads are saying, these guys are very specialized. So we have this situation where we have generalist classifications that are citywide, but then they become specialized when they get into the departments. We believe that's not fair to the employees. It boxes them in. They can't transfer, which brings us kind of into the next part of our concern. Did I miss anything else? Okay. So the next area that we have concerns about are the lists. And so this would be under tab. Starts under tab 9. What the concern is that there are so many different types of lists for the classifications, even though they're one citywide classification. So the employment list under the Municipal Code 1.24.600, posting of eligibility lists, talks about when the Civil Service Board is to approve departmental promotional lists. Municipal Code 1.24.540, promotional exam seems to be in conflict with 1.24.600. For example, the customer service representative tech list. So customer service rep tech is a classification that is a citywide classification. This came about out of the pay and comp study, where we took classifications and made them citywide. There is no general CFS tech list. There is currently one list in finance, and there is one, and that's an external open list, and there is one for TPU departmental promotional internal only. So if you happen to be a customer service rep tech in solid waste, you can take the test to see if you can qualify for the finance, but you can't get on the list for TPU. That limits your ability to promote and to transfer. It also has an impact on the lower classification of customer service representative, because a customer service representative in finance or tax and license is now not qualified to apply for an open position as a tech at TPU. So, so there are, it's getting very confusing. There's on page 5, under tab 1, there is a list of all of the lists, the eligibility lists that are covered in the Muni Code, in the personnel rules. There's an open list, there's a departmental promotional list, there's a promotional list, there's a transfer list, reemployment list, demotion, lateral entry. If you look under tab 9. This is an email that Joyce sent out, Joyce St. Germain, when she was the human resource director, trying to explain how you could get on the transfer list. So if I'm a customer service tech, customer service rep tech, it's possible that I would have to put my name on, how many, 3?
Well, there's only 2 lists right now,
but every department that has a customer service tech could have a promotional list, and then you would have to put your name on each one of those lists. So you could put, you may have to put your name on four lists just to be considered for that promotion, where normally you would only have to put your name on one. And if it's a departmental promotional list, if you're not in that department, you're not qualified to apply for that position anyway. The problem I'm hearing from our members is, if I'm a customer service rep tech, then why am I limited to only being able to apply for this, for my classification in this one area? And when we approach management with it, and that's a general term I'm using for management, not singling out any particular person, the response we got was, they're specialized. The work that they do here is much different than the work that they do at TPU. If that's the case, then why are they the same classification? The generalist approach is not working. However, when we go to the bargaining table and try to get a wage increase for one area over another, we're told, we did a salary survey on customer service rep tech and they're paid at market. But yet this person's specialized. They can't transfer anywhere else. It's not making sense. It doesn't pass the straight face test. If you look under page tab 10, we've included the customer service rep tech postings so that you can see just a couple examples. This isn't meant to be, you know. So the citywide classifications are not interchangeable. You can't go from one department to another if you're a customer service rep tech because they all use promotional lists. Specialist versus generalist is not working. We don't, the employees do not know when they are supposed to use a promotional test list, when they're on a transfer list. There are a lot of employees that don't use the transfer list. They would prefer to just take the test, get on the regular list, and it shows that they have the skills because they passed the test, right? So we're denying people opportunities to promote within the city of Tacoma. We're denying them opportunities to transfer within the city of Tacoma, and we're denying them the opportunity to earn a wage that should be comparable to the work that they're doing. Because we're judging them all by one paintbrush, but yet, on the other hand, we're saying they're specialists in their different departments. So, I could go on about this indefinitely, but I want to respect your time, and maybe if I just answer your questions, that would be better.
Madam Chair?
Board Member Hansen?
I have a few questions here. So have you been able to track down the job descriptions for the positions that were eliminated between 2009 and 2018? And became some position that was classified into an unclassified management analyst position?
No. We don't find out about the classification change unless a member calls us and says, hey, you know, there was a clerical position over here and now it's a management analyst, or there was a water position over here. So if it's a non-represented position, I don't have access to that information.
So does the management analyst category cover a lot of different job positions?
It's expanding.
Okay.
That's my concern. The management analyst is becoming a catch-all. And I believe that it was created as a way to circumvent the civil service process because you don't have to test for a management analyst. It is unclassified.
So you can be in a clerical position and be a management analyst? Is that what
you're saying? They can promote you into it.
Okay. What other types of positions are in the management analyst category that you're aware of?
I know you don't know all of them. I'm not quite sure I understand the question.
You mean which ones have been converted? The management analyst position is kind of a broad category that mm-hmm. covers a number of different positions.
Right.
And you said that, for example, a clerical position could be a management analyst position. Are there some other types of jobs that are included in the management analyst category?
Yes.
You are aware of?
Yes. I don't know how to tell you what they... I don't have the information to tell you where they came from or whether they were just... Usually what happens from where I'm sitting is somebody either retires and they don't fill that civil service position and they hire a management analyst, or they will promote somebody and say, we're offering you this job, as it's a newly created position of management analyst. They'll promote them and then not backfill the clerical position, and that employee takes the work with them. Does that kind of answer
you? Well, yeah.
So they're creating new positions and eliminating old ones, or not filling old positions and creating new ones.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get a handle on what positions have been eliminated and morph into the management analyst position.
Yeah, I just don't have access to that because they're not all my members that are being converted this way. And we're not notified by anybody that, hey, we're not filling this position, we're creating a management analyst position. I'm sure that's something maybe human resource could provide.
Okay. And then also with the list, are you saying, I think, kind of the general gist of what you said about the list is that it's hard to transfer and promote between departments, and you're kind of stuck in the same department, and if you want to promote to another position or transfer to another position, you're pretty much limited to one department?
Correct.
The way it's working now? Okay. And you're saying that that appears to conflict with the personnel rules?
Well, what has happened, I think, is the rules were set up one way, and then we went to this broad-banded classification where you have the same classification citywide, and now we've compartmentalized people with these promotional lists, departmental promotional lists, and so it's limited their ability. I'm not saying that anybody's violating the rules. I'm saying that the rules are being applied in such a way that it's harming people. And I don't think it's for the best betterment of the organization.
Yeah. Can I give an example?
Okay, yeah, that'd be great, yeah.
So when I first started working for 483, which has been 4.5 years, there was one customer service rep tech list. In the last few years, what's happened is there's become now... The finance has a customer service rep tech list, and TPU has a customer service rep tech list. So if environmental services needs to fill a tech position, they either have to create their own list, additional list, or steal somebody. They don't have their own list. There's no general customer service rep tech list anymore. If you look in the... on the list of the salary tables that are in there, it'll show you that there's a customer service rep tech. It'll show you that there's it's Joy's email that outlines that there's two lists now, but there used to be one, right? One list, all the departments use the list. Yes. Now they are sort of narrowly defining each one of their lists, and they each have different responsibilities. So, like I said, if environmental services wants to fill a tech position, they don't have a list. Not sure how they're supposed to do that. And the information is a little confusing. This was across the city position, like, for example, an administrative assistant, which is across the city. There's one list for every department in the whole city for the administrative assistant. That's what we're trying to show, is that they're having these sub-lists off of lists. And we thought our interpretation is that that has to come before you for your authority to do that, or we are misinterpreting the code and the charter.
All right. Thank you. I think I just had one more. No, I think that's it for now. Thank you.
Board Member Andrews, do you have any questions? Board Member Heller? Because otherwise we're down to Dan, and you know how that goes.
Just trying to wrap my head around this. So in the positions that were your members or are your members that moved from a classified to a non-classified position, are they still bargaining unit members?
No.
No. So they were moved out of the bargaining unit?
Correct.
But so are they doing completely separate work?
No, a lot of times they take the work with them, but that's not what we're bringing before this board, because that would be a skimming charge, which would be better served before PERC, right? So that's not what we're asking you to look at. What we're asking you to look at is, how can you create an unclassified position when you're limited by the city charter and the civil service rules as to what those unclassified positions are? In my opinion, management analysts should be classified, along with quite a few others.
Thank you. Board Member Sexton.
Alice, I'm trying to wrap my head around some of this too. Could you go over that for me about how the lists work for the management analysts?
There is no list for management analysts. It's unclassified.
So so all of those positions where they went from 2009 to 2010, there was places where we saw city manager's office, we saw an increase from 3 to 10, and so on and so forth. Those people were hired without any list.
Correct.
And those people could have been anybody. They could have been existing
Let me back up because that question could be answered actually twice. Hmm. If they were current employees and they were reclassified, then they were current employees and their classification was changed to management analyst. I believe the point, the real kind of the heart of the question or the issue is that when you have unclassified positions, it circumvents this board and it takes away the rights of, and I don't care whether they're unionized or not, it takes away the rights of the employees to have all kinds of appeal rights and employment rules because they are now appointive or unclassified. That's the real crux. I think it's a way to circumvent this board and the policies, and I think it's wrong. It violates the city charter and the civil service rules.
Madam Chair?
Board Member Hansen.
So have you been able, I don't know, Ms. Phillips, if you have tracked down the job descriptions for the unclassified positions? Have you? But I imagine they exist.
Yeah.
Right. And so, I mean, that might be a start.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be something that we can do eventually is get those job descriptions to see which kinds of positions are unclassified at this point. And you're saying that the management analyst positions are unclassified.
Correct.
Okay. And they don't necessarily fall into the categories that are listed as unclassified positions under the personnel rules in the city charter. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Not that I don't believe so. There could be this department is specialized, even though it's a management analyst. The management analyst classifications, from my perspective, from Local 43's perspective, is a catch-all. It could have all kinds. It's the class specs are very varied in them. And so there may be some management analysts that may fall into that. But I believe that they would be called something they would have a different classification.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Madam
Board Chair? Member Andrews?
I'm going to the definition. So I am in tab, I'm in tab 4.
Okay.
And what I need clarification on is you said there are no lists for management analysts. So I need clarification. So what I'm looking at is 1.24.110, and there is a definition for an open list, which is defined as eligible list established by open competitive exam. And then there's another list, 1.24.125, that defines eligible list. And it talks in terms of individuals being qualified for appointments. So when you say there is no list for management analysts, are you saying there is no open recruitment?
Okay, so I need to back up. I misspoke. Evidently, there is a list for management analysts, but they are not classified. So my understanding, and that's part of why we're here, my understanding is that these rules only apply to classified employees. So the definitions that you referred to would not apply to an unclassified position.
All right, so I'm looking through these. I'm the newest member. So point me to a particular rule that says what you said, that these are only for classified.
So if you look under, let me see. Let me get back to my notes real quick. Actually, if you turn to the first tab, page 1, under the city charter, or no, I'm sorry, page 2. I apologize, page 2.
Page.
Yeah, under tab 1, page 2, Article 6, Section 6.1 of the City Charter lists out those employees that would be considered unclassified if they fell into those categories. If they don't fall into those categories, then they, by Section 6.2, become classified. So 6.1 gives you the exemption, and 6.2 basically says everybody else is in civil service except for these exemptions. And if you look at 1.24.290, classified and unclassified civil service, that basically rephrases the city charter in telling you what the unclassified service shall consist of and what the classified. So there's an A, the unclassified service shall consist of, and then it lists them. And then if you go down to B, it says the classified service shall comprise all positions not specifically included in the unclassified service.
Okay. So your argument is the 6.1 is being misapplied. And based on the work, you believe the work is classified.
Correct.
And if the work is classified, then that's when you, if the work is being, it was misapplied, then the use of the term list doesn't apply to them, to the people who apply and are hired.
I'm not sure I understand your question. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm still trying to understand that whole issue if there's no list.
So my understanding now, I misspoke earlier. There is a list for the management analysts.
Okay.
Right? However, these rules don't apply to management analysts. So if there is a list, it's because management wants to create it. It's not because it's created based on requirements of these rules.
Because
it's unclassified.
Which you are challenging. the appropriateness of it being classified.
Just management analyst is an example. I think if you take a deeper dive into this, you're going to find that there are other classifications that should fall under the classified service that aren't. And I believe, I could be wrong because, you know, it's my opinion, I believe that it's being done to circumvent the hiring process that's laid out in these civil service rules.
Thank you.
Yes.
Board Member Heller.
Madam Chair, it seems to me that maybe the appropriate first step in considering this issue of classification being brought up by Ms. Phillips is to start by scheduling a study session where we can have HR come and give us some more information about how they determine these positions are classified or non-classified and what they're basing their decision on. You okay?
Yeah, good.
And I think that that would be the best first step. Having seen, of course, a study session is a open public meeting as well, and I would encourage the union to come and participate as well. But being able to ask these questions, we're asking a lot of questions that are really more appropriately addressed towards HR rather than the union.
Madam Chair.
Board Member Hansen.
I think that's a good idea. And I think one place we could start would be to get the job descriptions for the exempt positions, the unclassified positions, so that we have some kind of a handle on what positions we're talking about. And I think we should have as much information as we can get would be beneficial. So, I would encourage Ms. Phillips to, if we do have a, I think we should schedule a study session, and I would encourage Ms. Phillips to attend that as well so that we have information, as much information as we can get on these particular issues.
Chair Summers?
The soonest, yes.
I would suggest if you're going to look at the class specs that you look at the class specs and the PDFs that go with those specifications. The PDFs, so you have the class specs that are citywide, and then the PDFs tell you what an individual will do in each department. So you almost need both of them to understand.
So it's a classification and then a description?
Yeah, position description form.
Oh, okay.
Are there other comments by board members? The soonest we could schedule this for a study session would be June. Would that be timely enough for both parties? And you're going to have to come back with a whole lot of work done.
I haven't actually seen what has been presented, and this is the first time I've actually heard about this issue. So if I could get a copy of that stuff, that would be very helpful.
Okay. Perfect.
We'll do the best we can.
And we're this issue has been addressed with previous people. So I guess what I'm saying is that it's not boiling over. So if the city needs a little bit more time, we're fine with that.
Okay. With the consent of the board, we will schedule a June study session to go over this. And if more time is needed, please let us know, Human Resource Department.
Okay,
thank you. And thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
Told you wouldn't get out of here by 6.
Yeah.
Okay. Actions on matters still pending for new business. This would be the adoption of proposed findings of facts and conclusions of law in the matter of Gabriel Hernandez. You should all have that document in front of you. There were a few changes that were suggested by one of our board members. And Amy, if you'd like to
Thank
introduce
you.
Those?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I think we just had a little bit of a clerical error here. And so some of the suggested changes weren't included. So I would propose to amend these procedural summaries, starting under the finding of facts at item number 8 in the second sentence, where it says the city does not, and it currently says proactively remind employees, I would insert consistently or. And then under the conclusions of law in item 7, I would amend the current language so that it says, in light of the length of Mr. Hernandez's service, strike, however, and. So it says, in light of the length of Mr. Hernandez's service, comma, lack of clear evidence of comparable discipline for similar offenses, comma. Also strike, however, and insert, and the lack of a thorough investigatory process. This board finds, comma, under the circumstances of this case, termination is not the appropriate measure of, insert, progressive discipline. And those are my changes.
No, they aren't. Well, she hasn't completed them.
Hang on. Let's see, 12, 13. I'm okay with 12. No, she got 13.
Okay.
No, I'm good. It's just those two. In conclusions of law number 7 and the findings of fact number 8.
So are you moving that we change?
I'm moving that we amend our findings of fact, conclusions of law, and decision to include the changes I just read off.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
It's been seconded. Is there any further discussion by the board? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And please do not leave. Jennifer will be amending this, and it needs both our initials on the changes and the signature. So please don't leave quickly.
She needs this?
Do you need the changes that?
My truck.
Perfect. Okay. Moving on, considerations of matters set for public hearing.
None this evening.
Civil Service Coordinator Report.
None this evening.
And Human Resource Director Reports and Request.
Good evening, Chair Summers and
Good
members
evening.
Of the board. I am first going to tell you that one of the requests that we had placed on the agenda, the request for waiver of competitive examination for the IT analyst and business analyst classifications, that one was removed for tonight, so you can strike that from your list.
Is that the first one?
Last one. Mm-hmm. So I am reporting tonight on one list abolishment approved by the Director of Human Resources, Gary Buchanan. The details are in your packet. The list abolishment was for the wastewater treatment plant electrician instrumentation technician. There were 12 on the original list, one City of Tacoma resident. None were hired. There are 8 currently on the list, and 4 candidates were invited to interview. All 4 failed to respond to our repeated invitations, so they were inactivated. A review of the remaining 8 candidates show that while they have an electrician background, all 8 lack the required work experience with industrial controls and instrumentation that are essential for the position. So that list was abolished. We also have 2 requests for waivers of competitive examination for your consideration. Rodney Croston is presenting tonight on behalf of Audrey Hornbuckle, and he will come forward now.
Before you begin, board members, I have initialed the changes, and that will be sufficient if you will please just sign that you affirm. Is that correct?
Yeah, just make it clear that the board's adoption date is today.
So. Okay. And you're on, Rodney.
Good evening, Chair Summers and board members. My name is Desiree Radice, and I'm with Environmental Services Department. I'm also the lead for the Passive Open Space Program. In 2014, Environmental Services began to steward almost 500 acres of passive open space. And since then, we've begun active restoration on over 18 acres and put over 17,000 plants in the ground. So what you have before you is a waiver of competitive exam for Luis Yanez. And Luis has been a project employee since April 2015. And he's played just an integral role in completing that on-the-ground restoration. By his main duty is coordinating the Washington Conservation Corps crews that complete that work. And Luis is a wonderful employee, but in addition to that, he further shows his dedication to Tacoma's environment through his continuing education. He is a habitat steward at a local park. And just overall has a really great work ethic. Luis has proved to be an extremely valuable asset to Environmental Services and the Open Space Program. And so we would like to ask for an approval of the request that is in front of the board tonight.
Are there any questions by board members?
Madam Chair.
And Board Member Heller.
I have a couple questions for you, and I have no doubt that this is a wonderful candidate for the position. But in looking at the position itself, can you tell me, what are the minimum qualifications of this position?
I'm sorry, we didn't bring the classification specification with us. But I can probably pull it up real quick, just a minute.
Tell us off the top of your head.
So perhaps maybe you could answer while he's looking for that. When did the city last recruit for this position?
So we advertised in 2015, and Louise applied, and a list was not established. A permanent position was not approved. So we had a couple hundred applicants, and but the recruitment was called off. I think prior to that, was 2014, but I don't know exactly if a list was established or if anyone was hired. Luis was put into a project position, so even though environmental technician is a classified job, the position was time limited, and so the civil service rules don't apply to that project designation. He came to the city working for a contractor that was working on similar work, and so the city had an opportunity to observe him and see how capable he was, and of course, it's consistent with our equity goals, and he's a Tacoma resident, so he was like so well qualified to be right here in our backyard. And we had that project opportunity open, which gives us that flexibility to make an offer, which is how he came to be in a project position. I haven't been looking.
I know. How long was he in the project position?
He's been in the project position since April 2015, so approximately 3 years.
His project doesn't end until January 1st of 2022.
Oh, okay. Other questions, Board Member Sexton?
Rodney, you spoke to how Mr. Is it Yanez was initially hired. There was a list.
No, he was not hired from a list because he's an unclassified employee, and we don't create eligible lists for a point of. I don't want to say a point of because he's a project.
Yeah, thing. I know you spoke something about Mr. Yanez, and I guess I've forgotten that already. I'm really disappointed in this report. I haven't been disappointed in a request in quite a while, and you know, initially I pretty much make my decisions, you know, based on the reports that we get, the paperwork, and you know, typically after, you know, much complaints, the reports have been excellent lately. You know, a lot of information on the person and their background and how long they've been with the city, and there's very little of that here. There's very little information. You know, you had to tell us 2015. I don't see that here anywhere. There's, you know, the first page here, you know, speaks to the position, doesn't really speak to the person until you get to, you know, over here on the bottom of the second page. It seems like we've been over this, you know, many times, and I was, you know, I've been very happy with the improvement, the reports that we've seen, you know, the past few months, past year maybe, but this one I think is kind of a step backwards. I'm just, you know, really kind of disappointed in the lack of information here. There would not be enough information here for me to, you know, make a decision just by reading this.
Madam Chair.
Board Member Heller.
So just a couple more questions for you, too. Yes, please.
The qualifications are an associate's degree in an environmental or life science and 2 years of related experience, or a bachelor's degree in environmental or life science, and experience can substitute for a year-for-year for education.
Okay, so an AA degree, 2 years, or a BA degree, or 4 years of experience, or any combination thereof of education experience. Got it. How many positions do we have of this classification? Roughly. I'm not going to hold you to an exact number.
I would say the neighborhood of less than 10.
Less than 10. And do you anticipate hiring more than just this one?
No.
No. Are the other somewhere between 1 and 10, are they permanent employees? Or are they also projects?
We're not aware of any other project positions. We use this classification at Tacoma Public Utilities. I'm a little more familiar with that area, and all of our techs are permanent.
Well, and I appreciate you being on the spot tonight. I recognize you're stepping in for a coworker, and so part of the struggle isn't yours. However, and I am going to support this request of the city with slight concerns. Basically, I'm supporting it because you've got somebody who's been working for us for 3 years in this position, and so it makes sense. But with this type of 4 years of experience, an AA degree, 2 years,
these type of lower level positions, really, just so you know, from my perspective, aren't ones where I want to normally waive a competitive process.
Do I hear a motion to approve this?
Madam Chair.
Board Member Sexton.
Well, I am going to vote in support of this recommendation also. And, I am doing it, somewhat reluctantly because it could be the right thing to do. I got a little bit of information about this employee, and I certainly don't want to do the wrong thing here. But in the future, I would really appreciate more information here. Thank you.
I still don't have a motion,
Madam Chair.
Board Member Heller.
I move to grant the city's request as previously stated.
Do I hear a second? Seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Is the employee here? Would you like to come up and say a few words? Congratulations, first of all.
Good evening. My name is Luis Yanez, and I'd like to thank the board for their approval of this waiver, and I look forward to continuing to serve the city in this capacity, and I would most sincerely like to thank my supervisor, Desiree, for those kind words. Thank you.
So, Chair Summers, members.
Okay, you're in the right chair. This time.
I changed chairs, yeah. Desiree had prepared such a nice statement. But the next request we have is a waiver of competitive exam for Jeffrey Wingett. Mr. Wingett did compete in open competitive examinations to get into the signal and street lighting electrician apprenticeship program. He completed not only the 7,000 hours that are required, but 8,500. Due to a slight break in service during layoff periods. But he did successfully graduate from that program since on March 31st of 2017. So we're seeking a waiver to permanently appoint him into the journey level classification. He's been doing that work and being appropriately paid through time card upgrades.
Board Member Heller.
Madam Chair, I would move to grant the city's request as stated.
Board Member Sexton.
Madam Chair, I wanted to compliment the city on an excellent report in this case. I'm glad to see a lot of good information about the employee there, and it was pretty easy to make a good decision in this case. Thank you.
Can I get a second from you, Mr.?
Second.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? And is that employee here? I thought so. See, we don't get an audience, so if there's a familiar face.
Thank you, board, for processing the request and accepting me as a full-time permanent person now.
Thank you, and congratulations.
Thank you
for your service.
Thank you very much.
Yep, thank you.
Okay. Comments by the public. We do have folks
in the public tomorrow.
Anybody want to say anything? No. Comments by board members.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Board Member Heller.
I have a quick question of our coordinator, perhaps. How long does it take? Because I was looking back. And we don't have any of the audio recordings posted so far this year. On average, not holding you to an exact answer, how long does it take to get those posted to the website?
Normally those are posted within a week or two. And I don't have my phone, but I believe January has been. No?
No.
Okay.
Not as of 4:00 this afternoon.
Okay. I will check on that.
And before I do anything else, can I get a formal motion to approve the findings of facts, conclusions of law and decision as amended, so that we can make sure we've got all of our T's crossed and I's dotted.
Madam Chair.
Board Member Heller.
I would like to make a motion to approve the findings of facts, conclusions of law, and decision as amended.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you, board members. If there's no other business, we stand adjourned. Thank you. You know, I was feeling great until I sat next to Amy, and now I'm coughing again. Just so you know.